You know, when I listen to other people's podcasts for a while, I can't help but develop mental images of what these people might look like. Wouldn't it be nuts if I were really a crazy old man with a big beer belly and one of those greasy biker moustaches? Something to think about. Good evening. It's the 26th of January 2006, and it's Miette's Bedtime Story Podcast. An Unimportant Affair by Luke Soon. In the twinkling of an eye, 6 years have passed since I left the countryside to come to the capital. If I stop to add up all the so-called important affairs of state that I have either witnessed or heard about during that time, there have been quite a few at that. And yet, not one has left so much as a trace in my memory, and as for their influence on me, it has only been to increase my stock of bad temper. To tell the truth, these important affairs of state have merely taught me to despise people more and more with every passing day. But there was one unimportant affair that did have meaning for me, that dragged me out of the morass of my own bad temper, and that I cannot forget even today. It happened during the winter of the 6th year of the Republic. A fierce north wind was just at its peak. Nonetheless, in order to make a living, I had no choice but to be out on the streets bright and early. There was hardly anyone around, and it was only with the greatest of difficulty that I finally managed to hire a rickshaw. I ordered the puller to take me to S Gate. Before long, the north wind subsided. It had blown away every last speck of dust, leaving a spotlessly clean thoroughfare stretched out before us. The rickshaw man started making better time, too. Then, just as we were entering S Gate, one of the shafts of his rig snagged a piece of clothing and dragged someone to the ground. It was a woman. Her hair was grey, her clothes ragged. Darting out from the side of the street, she had cut straight across the rickshaw's path. The puller had slowed so that she might cross safely, but her tattered jacket was unbuttoned and a breeze had caught it at the last moment, making it billow out so that it snagged on one of the shafts. Fortunately, the puller had been slowing down at the time, or she would surely have been thrown head over heels and seriously injured. There she lay, stretched out on the ground. The puller stopped. I was certain that the old woman had not been hurt, and, since no one had seen the whole thing in the first place, was rather put out by his making so much of it. He was only going to stir up trouble for himself. Besides, he would make me late. "It's nothing," I said, "just keep going." Paying no attention at all, perhaps he had not heard me, my puller pulled down the shafts of his rig. He gently raised the old woman to her feet and supported her under her arms. "Are you all right?"
"I'm hurt real bad."
"I saw you go down with my own two eyes," I thought to myself, and it was slowly at that. How could you possibly have been hurt? Just a big act, that's all. What a contemptible old woman. And the puller had no call to get mixed up in this either, just making trouble for himself. Well, he's gotten himself into it, now let's see him get himself out of it. When she answered, without the least hesitation and still supporting her under her arms, he began walking the old woman down the street, one step at a time. Curious to see where he thought he was going, I glanced up ahead. A police substation. Although the wind had died down, there was still no one standing guard outside. Helping the old woman along, the rickshaw man was quite obviously headed for the main gate of that police station. At this point, a strange feeling came over me. It was as if the rickshaw man's receding and dust-covered form had, in a flash, somehow been magnified. It grew larger and larger with every step he took, until finally I had to look up just to take it all in. What was more, that form gradually solidified into an oppressive weight that bore down upon me until it had squeezed out the pettiness that was hidden beneath my big fur coat. At this point, my spirits must have been somewhat numbed, for I just sat there, not moving, not even really thinking. It was only when I saw a policeman emerge from the substation that I stepped down from the rickshaw. He walked up to me and said, "Better get another rig. He won't be able to pull you now." Without thinking, I took a handful of coins out of my coat pocket and handed them to the policeman. "Please give him these." By now, the wind had died down completely. The streets were silent. I walked along, thinking as I went, and yet I was somehow reluctant to think about myself. Even setting aside for the moment the way I had behaved up to that point, what could I have had in mind when I gave the policeman that handful of coins for my puller? Had I been trying to reward him? Was I even fit to pass judgment on this rickshaw man? I could not answer my own questions. I often think of that unimportant affair, even today, and consequently I am often forced through the painful business of thinking about myself. For me, the momentous civil and military affairs of the past several years have long since become one with all that Confucius says and the poetry classic states kind of thing that I had to memorize as a youth. Can't recall so much as half a line. And yet, that one unimportant affair remains ever before my eyes, sometimes with even greater clarity than when it actually occurred, constantly making me ashamed, urging me to turn over a new leaf, and increasing my stock of courage and hope.